Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up the deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Live from the poker room of Lumiere Place Casino and Hotels in downtown St. Louis. And happy to have you along for another week of talking poker on your radio. I'm Paul Harris along with Dennis Phillips, who is just back from a long weekend in Los Angeles at the Commerce Casino. We'll talk about his adventures at the LA Poker Classic in just a moment. Later on this hour, we'll be joined by Maury Eskandani. You don't know his name. He's not a famous poker player, but he is responsible for helping make some poker players very famous because he's the executive producer of High Stakes Poker and Poker After Dark and the NBC Heads Up Poker Championship, and is a pretty good poker player himself. I speak from experience, having played with him a few years ago at the Bellagio in a 6120 limit game.
This is a guy you want to be able to recognize, especially if you're sitting across the table from him.
Absolutely. So Maury will join us a little bit later on this hour. But welcome back from Commerce, where it was not a particularly successful weekend for you in tournament, was it?
Not in the tournament, no. Actually, I went through nine levels of it and never got above starting chips. Mm. Never got anything going, just kind of sat there like a little nit or something almost. It was.
were you getting cold decked, or were people putting moves on you?
No, there wasn't any moves on it. I never once had aces or kings, never once flopped a set, never once had a straight the entire time. I did have one flush, whoopie-doo. Yeah. But, you know, it's poker. It happens.
Happens to everybody who plays tournament poker.
Actually, I was fairly pleased that I went through nine levels with the patience and being able to, you know, I'd make a bit of a move. I'd draw down, get the blinds and the andes enough to keep me in chips, but I just kept waiting and waiting, and it never happened.
So how many levels did you make it through?
Nine.
Nine levels of the first day, and
hour,
you were done.
I went through six levels, hour and a half each one, 9 hours of playing.
Mm-hmm.
9 hours of playing, never once did I catch a you know, premium hand.
That was in the $10,000 main event of the LAPC.
That's correct. Right.
Is this your first time at Commerce?
My first time at Commerce, but not my last.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The action there is unbelievable. Went down and played in the live games. There is everything you can imagine down there. More tables than I've ever seen
in
a casino.
I mean, Lumiere is a very nice poker room.
Oh, absolutely.
We're proud to be associated with it and do the show live from here each week.
Mm-hmm.
But Commerce, ask any poker player who's been there, it's poker nirvana.
Oh, my gosh. And some sick poker, too. I was watching the stacks of some of these tables, you know, and these people were peeking around to one side or the other. The chips were piled so high around them.
Wow.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I did talk to a gentleman out there who had a very good weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I won't mention his name. The IRS might be listening or something, but he said he won around $500,000.
$500,000?
Yes.
Not in tournament chips.
No. Real cash game.
What game was he playing?
200, 400.
Hold'em?
Yeah. No limit hold'em.
Wow.
Yeah.
200, 400 blinds.
Yes.
Wins $500,000 in a weekend.
In a weekend. It's 3 days. I don't want to downgrade it. It wasn't two. It was a full 3 days.
For those of you who've never gone to L.A., I've never been there during the LAPC, but I've played at Commerce a couple of times, and it is any level of poker you want to play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you could be a complete amateur playing for the first time,
yep.
Just like you come in here to Lumiere. You could walk into Commerce and play in a 1-3 game there. You could play Limit Hold'em. You can play PLO. You could play Badoogie.
Oh, there was the stud games going. There was PLO going. There was everything going. Yep. Any right, absolutely any level you wanted.
And even when there's not a tournament going on there, there are huge games, 100,
yep.
200, no yep. limit, and other things going on. And because I'm a big fat guy, one of the things that I like there is the food.
That is true.
First time I ever played there, I sat down at a regular table, and the floor guy brought me my chips and said, "Would you like something to eat?" I said, "No, not right now. Maybe later." You know, every other casino I played in, you got to walk somewhere or order and pay for it.
Yeah.
There, the food is free. The guy next to me orders, says, "Bring me some watermelon." They brought him half a watermelon sliced. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I've watched some of the meals, and it was almost a la carte. Whatever you want, they'd find a way to serve it to you. As long as you're playing poker, you're treated like gold out there.
Now, there are a couple of stories from your weekend out there involving hands that you, not ones that you played, but ones that friends of ours played. In fact, Joe McGowan, the poker coach, who's normally on with us, will not be on with us tonight because he's come down with the flu and can barely speak without sounding like a frog.
Yep.
We hope to have him back in time for next week's show. But he was out there playing with you, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He got in the 10K also. right at the very beginning. I think it was he was just barely into the second level of this. He had around starting chips around 20,000 in it, and I got a text from him. I'm 10 tables, 15 tables away from whatever. I look at the text and went, this can't be right. I literally had to get up from the table to go talk to him a second because there's no way this is right. He said, four hands, pocket kings, second hand, pocket queens, third hand, top set flopped, fourth hand, middle set flopped, out.
Lost all four?
Lost all
four. That is brutal.
That's unbelievable.
That's one of those things when you hear that, you wish you were more like what was happening to you, where you're not necessarily getting anything, but you're not getting knocked out.
Yeah, I stopped complaining real quick.
The flop top set.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh.
You know they got all the chips in there.
Yeah.
And what about your other friend, Mora? This hand I actually read about on online. I think it was on cardplayer.com.
Yeah. This got the attention of the entire room, I will have to admit. Again, you're playing there. She was playing fairly well. She had a little over starting chips at a tough table. Some very, very good quality. Well, every table out there was tough. There was some just the cream of the crop was there at it. Looks down at pocket kings, makes a pre-flop raise, gets two callers. Two of the more aggressive players, including one that had just shown a bluff, a major bluff, and then was crowing about it, showing off to everybody.
Yep.
So, yeah, flop comes out there, jack high. Now, I can't remember exactly. I was obviously at a different table, but somebody, like, makes a bet. She looks at it. She's got not a huge amount of chips. Let's go for it. Nothing wrong with the move. Pushes it in. First guy folds. Second guy smiles and calls, and you go. You just wilt in your chair. You know the only way he's calling is if he caught something there. And he has pocket jacks.
So he's flopped a set
of
jacks,
and
she's got
kings.
A pair of kings.
Yeah. Again, now when she pushed in, there were only four hands that could beat her, obviously. The three cards on there flopping a set, and then aces. So, you know, she had the fifth best possible hand ever at that flop.
Yep.
But made no difference, all right? The guy that folded down there says, well, sorry, I threw ace-king away, too.
Oh, so she's playing for a one-outer.
Yeah. Guess what happens on the turn?
No.
Yes. King shows up, turns over. The entire room, you know, was going, oh, after he turns over the jacks. Then everybody, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, and the crowd gathers around and looks at her. You can't believe it.
So he sucks out with a jack. Then she double sucks out with the king on a one-outer. And now he's got a one-outer, the last jack in the deck.
Think of this. On the flop, he had he had two outs.
Yes.
He caught one of them. On the turn, she had one out. She caught it.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, there's 20 people around the table, and everybody's talking up and down and the whole bit like that. Yes, it happens.
No.
On the river. Honest to God.
The case jack comes out?
The case jack.
Oh.
So you had a two-outer on the flop, a one-outer on the turn, and a one-outer on the river. I can't even do the math for that.
That reminds me of that hand that you played. Well, you weren't in it, but you were at the final table in November, the World Series of Poker main event.
Yep.
And I think it was Scotty Montgomery, and was it Peter Eastgate?
I think so, yes.
Where Eastgate had a set of sixes. And Montgomery had made a flush on the turn, and was that? No, it was a full house, something like that. Where Eastgate needed the case six. You had thrown a six away.
I threw the six of clubs away. The six of diamonds were the only thing that wasn't gone on it. He had a pair of sixes is what it was, and Montgomery had the overpair on it. The only card that would beat him was the third six to set, give a set to Peter.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the river, the single card in the deck out of the 40-plus of them that are left there comes.
Wow.
So, yeah. But this happened on the flop and on the turn and on the river.
That's unbelievable. Triple suck out on one hand.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So. All right, we're live here at the Lumiere Place final table here at Lumiere Place Hotel and Casino in downtown St. Louis. And, by the way, if you hear a lot of noise in the background, it's because every table is full here.
Absolutely.
And I know why. One reason is because our weekly 5-10 game is going on here tonight. Plus, their 6 o'clock tournament just got underway.
Yep.
But also, there's a lot of 1-3 action here, and a lot of that is being driven by the...
There's another reason.
The
yeah.
bad beat jackpot.
Yes.
Which is, I haven't seen the number, but I think it's over $260,000.
I think it's around 263, but again, I haven't looked at the figure either.
Something like that.
Yeah, but anybody that wants to come down and take part of $263,000, come on down.
Yeah, so this is the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis, a place where you can play tournaments 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday. They have a $35 tournament at noon. On Friday and Saturday, the noon tournament's $55. And then Sunday through Thursday, they also do a 6 o'clock tournament like the one going on right now. $55. They've also got a blackjack tournament here every Wednesday, and great places to eat as well, plus a terrific hotel. And in fact, if you go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, there's a Lumiere ad on there where we've arranged for you to be able to get a hotel room here for $109 in downtown St. Louis. That's a pretty good price considering you're going to be right here at the Lumiere Casino.
Yep.
Click that link on thechipleader.com and come down and have yourself a night or a weekend at Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel. And we're back with just a quick break and then more of the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Maury Eskandani, the executive producer of High Stakes Poker, joins us in just a few minutes. This portion of the show is brought to you by PokerStars, and here's Dennis Phillips, part of Team PokerStars Pro.
PokerStars is the site that I play on, guys. If you want to play against me, log on. PokerStars.net, largest in the world. There's a game going on every day, every level, every type. If you want to play Omaha, you want to play Stud, you want to play Hold'em, you want to play Limit, whatever it is, it's there. They're going to be having a free roll for our radio show here on it. It'll be a week from this Wednesday. Everybody's invited to play on it. Next Wednesday, listen into the show. We'll give you the password to get on to
next it. Tuesday, listen
next
to the show.
Next Tuesday.
We will give you the password then.
Yes. And then Wednesday, it'll be that evening on it. We'll have all the details. We're working it out. Looks like we're going to have a number of different prizes, cash prizes, awards, weekends down here. Not for sure what all, but it's a free roll, guys. Come on down and have some fun, as they say.
PokerStars, one of the sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table. Before we take another quick break and then get to Maury, tell the story about the pro and the hookers, please. He told me this one at dinner before the show, and I said, you have to tell this one on the show. This happened to somebody.
Yes.
Let's not say the name.
No names. I guarantee there'll be no names with this.
This was at the LAPC.
Yeah. This was told to me out there and then verified in that. The poker chips there have no monetary value. They're just in there for it.
The tournament chips.
But you cannot leave the table with them, of course.
In fact, if you've ever played in a tournament, they always tell you whenever you go on a break or you get moved from one table to another, don't put these chips in your pocket.
Right.
Keep them in the racks. When they get bagged up, they got to stay in the bag
gotta
at the
be
end
there.
Of the day.
Gotta be there.
Don't leave with any of them because they don't want people sharing chips, cheating way, helping somebody else's stack.
Yeah, absolutely the same. Anyhow, a gentleman was entertaining some... shall we say,
hookers.
Ladies
Let's
of
say
the
hookers.
Night. All right, whatever. All right, go for it. I believe there were three of them. He gave them a $25,000 chip. Of course, it was
a tournament chip,
but they didn't realize that.
They didn't look at it and see where it says no cash value?
Evidently not. I mean, you know, maybe they were blonde. I don't know. Anyhow, let's not go there. They went the next day to the casino to cash it in.
To the cage, yeah.
And they looked at him and said, well, first of all, this isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
And second of all, where did you get this from?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. There was, you know, what to pay on this thing. But it was so hilarious. Can you imagine three hookers going down there trying to cash this in, then they're going back to this guy's hotel room, and oh, my gosh.
Did they ever track back this pro or whoever it was?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they did.
So...
anyhow, enough of the story.
Can't go into much more detail than that.
That one's ended.
All right.
But everything happens.
So there's a tip for you hookers listening in tonight. Make sure to read the chips when you accept them as payment for services. I think that's the moral
is that
of the
what
story.
It is? Okay, well, you're much more politically correct than me. I had other morals to it. But
this portion of the show is brought to you by Verdell Remodeling. Ron Verdell and his company do bathrooms. They do basements. They do kitchens. They'll build a new room on your house. They are your full-service remodel company. They've been serving the Metro East for years, and you can ask any of their clients about the work that Ron and his crew do, and you will get praise from each and every one of them. The nice thing about Verdell is you're dealing with real people. You'll find that out when you call them, and a real person answers the phone. You can go to the website athomewithron.com to find out about Ron Verdell and Verdell Remodeling. In the construction and remodeling business for the past quarter century, and the winner of the Best Interior Award from the Home Builders Association. When you need your house, turn to the home of your dreams. Call Verdell Remodeling, 618-345-8840. Or better yet, since you're not going to remember the phone number, remember the website, athomewithron.com. We're back at the Lumiere Place Final Table right after this on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
It's Poker on Your Radio. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS. Now, here are two guys giving off reverse tells and trying to take your stack, Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
For several years now, there has been a lot of poker on television. The World Poker Tour, Poker After Dark, the NBC Heads Up Championship, all sorts of stuff on the Fox News Channel. But for my money, there is no better poker show than High Stakes Poker, which is about to start its fifth season on GSN this Sunday night. In fact, they're turning it into Sunday Night is Poker Night on GSN. High Stakes Poker is a terrific show where pros come with their own cash on the table and play for big money. That's why we call it High Stakes Poker.
Absolutely. And a lot of the success for this show and the other shows there can go right to the gentleman that's joining us now.
Maury Eskandani is one of the executive producers of High Stakes Poker. Welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table, Maury.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you. So what's new on High Stakes Poker this season? When we see the debut on Sunday, what'll be different?
Well, it's going to be higher stakes poker. It's no longer high stakes. I like to call it higher stakes because we've doubled everything.
Are we shooting for highest next year? Or
It'll be higher yet. But
oh, my gosh.
I think this one that we played this season is so high, we'll probably stay here for a while. The minimum buy-in now is $200,000 from $100,000. And
wow,
we put a maximum of $500,000 instead of letting players, you know, sit down with a million. That a lot of fans and players told us that somehow it tightened the game up a little bit. So when the discrepancy is between 200 and 500 between players, it just induces a lot of action into the game. And that's what we got. We have many exciting hands. I hate to even think what happened to some players. It was pretty sad, but that's the nature of the game. And when you watch it, don't worry about them. They'll be getting it back the next week. We just won't be filming them.
Who's new to the show this year? We understand that you invited Peter Eastgate, who won the World Series of Poker main event, where Dennis came in third in November. He played. And who else have you invited in this fifth season?
The fifth season has a few very prominent high-stakes cash players that basically have proven themselves in the last couple of years. These are like players like Tom Dwan, he goes by the name Durr.
Oh, yeah.
David Pete, which people call him Whiffer. And we have also Peter Eastgate, as you mentioned. So Ilari Sahamias goes by the name Zygmunt. So from the tournament world, we brought the world champion, Peter Eastgate. And from the internet and the cash world, we brought probably two of the hottest players in the circuit right now, which is Tom Dwan and Ilari Sahamias, and, of course, David Pete, who's always a great action.
And which big-name pros will be returning to the show? You can't be doing high-stakes poker without Doyle, I'm sure.
Doyle is there. Doyle is going to be actually playing in quite a few episodes. And Doyle is there also playing with Peter Eastgate. We wanted to see the oldest champion of World Series of Poker with the youngest.
That's a good
and
nomination.
Basically, we wanted, there's some interesting hands that comes down between them. I'm sure the fan is really going to enjoy it. So I don't want to expose too much of it, but this was a stage for Peter Eastgate to come out and prove himself that not only he is a tournament winner, but it's not by fluke. He can actually play the game. And my opinion, he did a pretty good job.
Good.
One of the things that makes High Stakes Poker so successful to me as a viewer, Maury, is the fact that you get the players to talk at the table. I'm guessing some of the more quiet players who've been on the show in past years don't get invited back. But are you talking to them during the show and going up and telling them, come on, be more outgoing?
We offered them a $1,000 award. No, I'm just kidding. Actually,
oh my gosh.
A lot of the players, you guys played in poker games, and if you know the other players, the conversation is natural. We hate to make the players do something, and there's nothing scripted in the high stakes poker. That's why it's so much fun to watch. Whatever happens between Antonio Sandiari and other players, I mean, there's some really, really crazy stuff that happened that's not really poker-related. And you can just see, you can't script something like that. That's just the player's nature, and they know each other, and that's their character, and they come out, and whether they're trying to throw each other off the game by saying, you know, hey, don't take too long, what's taking you so long, and like after 10 seconds, some guy's thinking.
Yeah.
Or just teasing them, you know, different ways. It's all natural. And yes, there are players that are quiet, and that's not necessarily, you know, say, hey, if you're quiet, you're out. That's just never, that will never be the case. If they are playing exciting game, like Patrick Antonius doesn't talk much. He lets the cards do the talking, and boy, do they talk.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You talk about the way the game gets played out, and of course anybody who knows a little bit about televised poker knows that a lot of post-production goes into it, that you record hours and hours and then edit it down to give us the most entertaining television. But I'm curious about Gabe Kaplan and AJ Benza when they're actually doing the commentary on the show. Are they doing that all in post-production, having seen what the hands are, or are they sitting in some secret room somewhere nearby watching it live as it's getting played out and commenting on it in real time?
Actually, it's all done in post-production. It is very difficult, especially a game like high-stakes poker, to do a live commentary. As you know, and as we discussed just now, the conversation between the players is so important for the audience to hear, and we totally get that. I mean, we understand from, you know, every email that we read and blogs are out there, people want to hear what the players are saying. It's very important to them. Now, how can you accomplish that live? It's very difficult because you got to be, like, going over these conversations if you're doing it live. Post-production gives us the advantage not only for Gabe and AJ to watch the shows before we get together and gather their thoughts, what they're going to say, also would allow us to go in between the conversation and basically throw the nuggets, you know, that talks about, commentates about the hands to the player, to the audience.
Well, this is most of these guys now, most of these pros, the tournament ones I've played with one time or another in the last few months. Just got back from L.A. I played with Phil Locke. He was at my table for about 9 hours. Antonio is so entertaining at a table. We were at the Five Diamond, and he was going through all these prop bets, and just we were having a blast at the table. The heck with the cards type stuff.
Oh, don't worry. Same thing happens here.
Oh, he is great to have on there.
Yeah, this is not just, you know, they're not just playing poker. It's very, very entertaining. And, of course, what we always believed in, you know, give the audience entertaining poker, but make sure it's being played by the best in the world. And that's exactly what you're going to get here.
Maury, we have a couple of questions that listeners emailed us because we put on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, that you'd be on tonight, and so we got a couple of questions. One of them wants to know if you've had any consideration of doing a week of PLO on Poker After Dark or putting Pot Limit Omaha into high-stakes poker at some point instead of just No Limit Hold'em.
Pot Limit Omaha, you know, I've been playing poker as a professional myself for over 20 years. And so many instances we play in Omaha, and even the pros in the game misread their hands. And, you know, the people that played Omaha, they know that. They know that's just part of the fun, where somebody misreads their hand. What I'm trying to get with that is even within the circuit of poker, even within the community of poker, it's a much harder game to grasp. Now, you take this to the general public out there, they're going to be lost watching it. Granted, there's going to be a very few percentage of players that are really interested in Omaha, in Pot Limit Omaha, or the game Omaha, whether it's Pot Limit or Limit, and they're going to enjoy watching it. And I've heard this many times from different people that, hey, is Pot Limit Omaha getting in? I would say someday, but I just don't think that someday is going to be near future, because Hold'em, even when we play high stakes, even though we have really hardcore, you know, fan of poker watching high stakes, but they're still learning. They're still learning the strategies and everything else that's in the game from the players. re-switch to Omaha is just premature. We're going to lose a big audience base.
Yeah, I think probably the only way you could do that is maybe a mixed game and see and test the market that way at best. I think you have a good point, though.
They've done some Omaha. I think ESPN has done it with high-stakes poker. Mm-hmm. I mean, with World Series of Poker. And I wonder how successful they were, because I know they'd like the simplest form would be seven-card stud. That's close enough to hold them. And you don't have community cards.
There you go.
You have your own cards. But I don't even think anybody's pursuing that. So
okay. A couple other quick questions on it. I mean, you always hear about different things, green M&Ms and that. Are any of the players have any special demands, anything of interest, any kind of, I don't know, quirks, shall we say? You don't have to mention names, by the way.
Nothing really special. I mean, nothing out of ordinary. Some of them have preferred, like, there could be a vegan. Daniel Negreanu is vegan. He always says, you know, there better be something out there for him to eat. And, you know, some players like sushi or things like that. There's nothing outrageous. I mean, okay. The one thing they demand is they demand no bad beats, but we can't help it. They just come.
Well, yeah. One other quick question. Have you ever thought about maybe making one seat for an amateur or somebody able to win their way onto it or something that way maybe?
That has come up, yes. That has come up, and that would be something very interesting. Hopefully, we'll see that happen.
I think that would be great.
Story has come up, yes. Similar idea.
I could just see some massive tournament. The winner gets to sit down here, you know, sponsored in with a quarter of a million or something like that and play against these guys.
Oh, you don't have to be sponsored, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well.
Maury, another listener named Stuart emailed to ask about a wide disparity of the player's net worth when they sit down at the table, and he wants to know, what was the effect of having Guy LaLiberté, the guy from Cirque du Soleil, sit down at the table? Because everybody knows the money on the table doesn't really mean that much to him. He's going to give his winnings to charity anyway. What is having an extremely wealthy person like that do to a poker game at that level?
Well, you know, when people hear No Limit, they sometimes go back into the pre-television or even pre-modern poker, where No Limit meant everything you have, and you didn't have to have it on the table. So if I bet your farm and you know, your farm was smaller, you had to throw your hand away or some crazy thing, or you had to go sell it and bring it over.
Yeah.
As we know now, poker, even No Limit Poker, is still table stakes. So if Guy puts in $1 million in front of him, the question becomes, can the player that's sitting there take that kind of pressure? And the answer is totally yes. Now, if we had truly put in No Limit, where everybody put everything they owned on the table, so then you could see that it would make a big difference. In this case, I would say Guy, the only difference would be Guy would be playing pure poker, you know, to whatever his ability is. He really doesn't care about the money. So his decisions are not, where is my next, as most of us do when we're playing poker, how are we going to make the next car payment? That's not going to be in his mind.
Yep.
He is going to be playing, you know, let me see how I can win this pot, or do I have the best hand or not? While in the other player's mind, if what they have in there represents a big part of their bankroll, it may become a little bit, you know, tense. But I still believe at that level, the pressure of money does not really exist as much with these players. They're so used to these limits. They just tune in to Sunday at 8:00, and you'll see a group of players. And I'll tell you who the group is going to be: is Tom Dwan and Eli Elezra. Now, we know Eli is a very wealthy businessman. Peter Eastgate, he just won $9 million World Series of Poker. David Benjamin, been playing high limit cash games forever. I mean, we saw him play a very big pot with Guy, and ironically, it was Guy who suggested that they save the money that was in the middle. I think it was like $1,200,000. Barry Greenstein, don't need to mention anything about him. Doyle Brunson, we all know, and Ilari Sahamias and Daniel Negreanu. And you know, there's definitely discrepancy between their wealth, but you wouldn't know from the way they play.
That's a great lineup. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Mm-hmm. By the way, when we see an hour a week, how long have these guys played in a session? Do you just do one day of recording and then edit it down for a season?
It all depends. Let's put it this way. These eight players that I just mentioned played 8 hours, and you're going to see 6 hours of their play.
Wow.
So missing much with high stakes. It's not, you know, since it's not a tournament and it's controlled time, you know, it's not like all of a sudden a heads-up match can go 18, 19 hours and you have to edit it down for television.
Yeah.
You're going to see most of the hands. You're going to feel like you're in the room and you didn't miss much. That's what it's going to feel like.
Well, that's sweet, because I was assuming that you would have a kind of a mixture there. You'd be cutting out a half an hour here or this or that and you'd lose the feel of it.
It's very close to real time.
Okay.
Of course, Dennis played 13 hours at the final table in November, and we only got to see about 100 minutes of that on TV, about 14 hands. So you're giving people a lot more of the actual poker that's played that day.
Well, Dennis must be playing tighter than these guys. Again, if you play 300-400 hands in a tournament and you're supposed to show it in 2 hours, how would you do it? You have no choice. You have to show that people are getting eliminated. You have to show how the chips is moving around, who's doubled up. You know, you can't just come back and see somebody with no chips and have six racks in front of them. So there's some stories that you're compelled to show. While in high stakes, everything is happening, you know, like I said, in pretty much controlled deal. You don't have to force the action. The action is just flowing, like we all know.
Before I let you go, I mentioned at the top of the show that I had the pleasure of playing with you a couple of years ago at the Bellagio in the days when they still had a 60-120 game going up on the top riser there in the back.
I have to defend myself, don't I?
No, you played pretty well, and you and I never got into a big hand against each other, which I was happy about because there were other people at the table that were more than willing to put their money into the felt. But what are you playing these days, and where do you play?
Actually, I think last year I played a total of maybe 20 hours. I just, you know, we did some more, we took on some more poker projects, and I'm, as a professional, I've been saying that I'm totally washed up now, so I'm not playing that much poker. But I do play at the Bellagio when I have a chance, usually play the mixed games if there's a mixed game, or no limit hold'em. But again, it's maybe once or twice a month if that happens.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on here. This was interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this now. This should be that's an awesome lineup.
Well, make sure your St. Louis crowd go to Charter Channel 55 this Sunday at 8 o'clock Central Time. And
okay.
I know I may be selling this, but trust me, I'm not selling this. This season of high stakes poker is unbelievable. What you're going to see from first hand, you're not going to be able to let it go until it ends.
Sweet.
And of course, GSN's now created a nice array of and a nice poker island, I call it, on Sunday. It's not just high stakes. You see different WPT and all the highlights and the strategies of high stakes too. So of the game.
Yep, Sunday night, poker night on GSN, including the new season of High Stakes Poker, the fifth season, 8 o'clock this Sunday night. Maury Eskandani, one of the executive producers of that show, plus Poker After Dark and the NBC Heads Up Championship. Thanks for joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table.
All right, thanks again, Maury.
Take care, guys.
All right, take care.
I love that show. I'm really looking forward to it.
This has got me excited about it now. And, you know, he's saying this is the best one ever. Wow.
And this portion of our show is brought to you by PokerStars.
PokerStars.net. Again, this is the site I play on, guys. Whether you're wanting a big game, a small game, whether you're wanting just a regular hold'em, a no limit, you name it, it's there. This thing runs 24 hours a day. It's the largest in the world, and it is everything you could ever want. Learn how to play on it. Become the pro that you want to be. Get on there. Look for details how you can win real prizes depending on the free roll tournaments. And again, our free roll tournament will be a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
And on PokerStars.net.
Now, you have to listen to this show next week.
Listen
to the Lumiere Plays Final Table either on 590 of the Fan KFNS or KFNS.com or the podcasts that are available on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to next Tuesday's show, and we'll give you the password, the secret code you'll need to know to get into next Wednesday's free roll.
Correct.
And we'll have some cash on the line for it, right?
Oh, yeah. It looked, again, don't hold me to this, but it looks like first prize will probably be about $1,000. There's going to be about prizes for the whole final table. It's going to be fun.
We're working on it right now, but it will definitely take place next week, and you can get details on Dennis's website, or you can go to PokerStars.net. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table. We're back after this on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and St. Louis's own poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Portion of tonight's show is brought to you by the PPA, the Poker Players Alliance, a nonprofit membership organization with online and offline poker players, people who love the game of poker and want politicians to keep their stinking noses out of it. You know, they fight against the UIGEA, which has been a real problem for online players across the United States. Unfortunately, at this point, Europe and Asia, particularly Russia, where your buddy Ivan Demidov comes from,
everywhere else,
they are starting to play a lot more online poker, and the PPA is trying to fight it. And hopefully, with the Obama administration in there, we know it's not their number one priority because the economy's got to be fixed first.
Oh, yeah, but
eventually, somebody's going to get to Barney Frank and the banking committee or something else and overturn the UIGEA.
This is so logical. This is one of the ways to help with it.
Absolutely.
PokerStars.net is fully in force of this. They want to regulate it. They want it governed. They want it taxed. Come on, guys.
Yeah, well,
use some common sense.
The PPA is the lobbying arm, and they need your help. You can join by going to the website ppa.org. All right, Dennis's email address is dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com. We didn't have any time to get to mail this week because we're going to end the show a little bit early tonight because KFNS has to go to an SIUE basketball game.
Yep.
So you can email us questions. Next week we'll get to a lot of stuff from the inbox, I promise about that. And we've got other guests lined up, maybe Chris Moneymaker or somebody else coming up on the show next week. Oh, and also next week we'll tell you a little bit about the Dream Team, which is team poker that's going to be played where? At Caesars?
It's a new concept. It's going to be played at Caesars in Vegas the last weekend in March. We're both going to hopefully be out there at it and playing it. It's a three-man team, so it's a team effort instead of an individual.
We'll tell you more about that on next week's show. In the meantime, check out the website, thechipleader.com. Thanks for listening to the Lumiere Place Final Table here on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.